The NIH wants your ME/CFS or fibromyalgia brain, a new funding opportunity and other takes from the NANDSC Roadmap Meeting by Court Johnson, May 27th, 2024. Highlights from the ME/CFS Roadmap presentation at the Spring NANDSC meeting. Vicki Whitmore, Lucinda Bateman, and Maureen Hansen presented recommendations produced by the roadmap groups to the NINDS advisory committee called NANDSC. The roadmap consisted of 8-day-long webinars and culminated in a 148-page report that was delivered to the council. Roadmaps are designed to produce strategic directions for the NIH and have resulted in increased funding in other diseases. Watch the video cast here, link in article. I believe the roadmap presentation begins about an hour and a half in. The NIH wants your brain. The NIH wants your brain. It really does. Not right now, later. I don't know when this happened, but it's happened. If you want science to make use of your brain to help understand what's going on in chronic fatigue syndrome, ME/CFS, or fibromyalgia, or long COVID, after you're gone, there's a way to do it. This interesting possibility arose during the Q&A session after the ME/CFS roadmap presentation to the NINDS advisory committee. The massive roadmap series, which took 8-day-long webinars to complete, resulted in a report to NANDSC and a presentation which highlighted the step the series roadmap authors believed the NIH needed to take in order to get ME/CFS to clinical trials. An NANDSC member strongly asserted, citing the need to look for things like transposable elements, endogenous retroviruses, and epigenetics, and damage to the brain and spinal cord autopsies would be very helpful. Vicki reported that it is possible to provide ME/CFS brains to the NIH Neurobank and that it has some samples. Who knew? Noting that suicide is an issue with ME/CFS, Vicki alluded to the sensitive nature of donating one's brain, but Lucinda Bateman popped, saying she'd just had a conversation with an ME/CFS patient who'd simply wanted to help out the field when she was. It turns out that it is remarkably easy, if not a little weird, to start the process. Click here, link in article, to learn about the Brain Donor Project, and here to begin the pre-registration process, which is remarkably brief if you haven't participated in a research trial. After that, you'll receive an email with information packet where you can more fully flesh out your age, sex, health details, etc. ME/CFS, fibromyalgia, Lyme disease, and migraine are included. Long COVID is not. Check out a blog on what the limited but interesting brain and spinal autopsy results have shown so far in ME/CFS. Much more sophisticated analysis can be done now. A new funding opportunity for ME/CFS. Just a week or so after Vicki Whitmore cited the difficult funding environment that persists at the NIH and NINDS in particular, she stated that a new funding opportunity was in the works. This could presumably mean anything from an unfunded program announcement that details aspects of ME/CFS that the NIH is particularly interested in, to a fully funded request for applications. Who knows? We should know more about this soon. Trans-NIH Working Group. Now that the roadmap has been accepted, the Trans-NIH Working Group is tasked with implementing its recommendations. Not an easy task given the many, many recommendations, see below, and the many needs in this field. The WG can do some things that don't require money or much money, but for those that do, my understanding is that the WG would need help to make a request to NANDSC for the funding required to do that. Genetics Consortium. Citing a great deal of unpublished data and the DECODE ME work that is being done, as well as long COVID data, Vicky said that geneticists are very anxious to come together and move that forward. It seems pretty clear that a genetic consortium will be developed. These consortiums typically bring researchers together to assess the genetics of a disease on a large scale. A clinical trials working group. It also seems clear that a clinical trials working group will be formed. While it's not clear what it would do, I suppose it would do things like make treatment recommendations for clinical trials, recommend testing protocols, how patient selection is done. Anytime experts get together as a body to make recommendations, it helps. Roadmap recommendations. Maureen Hansen, who delivered the research highlights, first focused on three of the eight areas the webinars covered: pathogens, and the nervous and immune systems. Because they were of most interest to the National Institute of Nervous System and Stroke Committee members she was speaking to. Pathogens. Enteroviruses. Maureen Hansen produced a paper on enteroviruses and ME/CFS, and she leaned heavily on them before the committee, stating, "There's good evidence for enterovirus as the pathogen, and it's possible that an enterovirus family member was the pathogen in all the mid-80s outbreaks, and like the ones in earlier outbreaks." Epstein-Barr virus, EBV. Is chronic EBV reactivation maintaining the illness, or is it simply a susceptibility factor, something that people with ME/CFS are susceptible to, but which is not necessarily driving their illness? Endogenous retroviruses, HERVs. These so-called fossil viruses that are embedded in our genome have not been studied much in ME/CFS, but are actively being studied in other neurological illnesses. Immune system. Is ME/CFS an autoimmune disorder? Is an antigen, something foreign in the body such as a virus or a piece of a virus, driving parts of the immune system to exhaustion? Which signaling pathways are disrupted? What role may little studied immune cells such as platelets be playing? Where is the inflammation seen in ME/CFS coming from? What role is the gut microbiome playing? PET imaging for the whole body immune responses should be done. Understanding the role mast cell activation syndrome plays. Nervous system. Neuroinflammation, reduced brain blood flows, and small fiber neuropathy have all been found. With reduced cognition a major concern, the Roadmap Committee recommended that circulatory dysfunction in the brain and cerebral spinal fluid should be assessed more thoroughly. Likewise, nitric oxide signaling and the BH4 enzyme. The cause of the orthostatic intolerance should be investigated more. With regard to unrefreshing sleep and sleep phase reversals, investigators should attempt to find biomarkers for these conditions and assess cerebral spinal fluid glymphatic flows during sleep. Circulation. Little is known about the extent and effects of endotheliolitis, increased vasoconstriction, platelet activation, and microclots. Notice how much long COVID has brought forth this vital area and low blood volume. Reduced cerebral blood flows, impaired oxygen sensitivity of the red blood cells, and neurovascular dysregulation, not getting blood to the right places in the brain or elsewhere, have all been found. Metabolism and energy. With regard to metabolomics, artificial intelligence should be brought to bear on the complex metabolomic findings. Disturbances of the TCA cycle in the mitochondria may be impairing energy production. Others. Understanding the role connective tissue problems play, the role spinal cord conditions such as cervicocranial instability and tethered cord play. Gender differences especially need to be assessed, and given the female overlay, reproductive issues should be assessed as well. Genome-wide studies and genetic studies have hardly been done. Overarching priorities. More collaboration between researchers, clinicians, patients, and advocates involving multidisciplinary cooperation and data sharing. The committee wants researchers, doctors, and patients to all interact. My guess is that doctors and patients want relevant research that can lead to treatments. They can help researchers zero in on key problems by providing anecdotal accounts of what works. Plus, researchers should take into account that many people with ME/CFS are willing to accept risks that might not be acceptable for people with other diseases in clinical trials. There's also the strong need for interdisciplinary collaboration to help understand this complicated and multifaceted disease. Innovative approach. Citing those who got sick in the 1980s and have been sick for most of their lives, there's urgent need to develop an innovative approach to develop diagnostic markers, therapeutic targets, and personalized treatments. Unfortunately, Dr. Hansen did not say what that innovative approach was. Maybe it's in the report. Expand the biobanks. Dr. Hansen talked about the difficulty she had easily getting samples when she began studying ME/CFS. The small ME/CFS biobank at the NIH needs to be expanded to include more samples and more different kinds of samples, including cerebral spinal fluid, tissue, and organ samples. Dr. Hansen called the lack of ready samples the number one issue preventing investigators, as well as funding, from starting work on this illness. Rigorous research. Well-funded studies with adequate cohort sizes are critical given the many small studies that permeate the field. Stages of illness. Have studies assess the effects of duration and stages of illness? She mentioned how it appears that it is more difficult to recover after 5 years. An NIH-funded study, which will show the role duration plays, is reportedly coming out. Plus, a recent study suggested that short-duration long COVID patients were intermediately affected relative to healthy controls and ME/CFS patients. Longitudinal studies that follow patients over time are critical. Subtypes and gender effects. Recent studies, including several coming out of her lab, make it clear that sex differences are present at the molecular level in ME/CFS. Likewise, it's clear that substantial differences exist at the molecular levels between men and women. Dr. Hansen noted that clinical trials show that a subset of ME/CFS are improving, although the trial as a whole was considered a failure. Clinical trials need to zero in and try to understand what's happening for the improvers. Educate healthcare providers. 85% of ME/CFS patients may not be diagnosed, and some ME/CFS experts are aging out. Clinical trials need to begin immediately. Clinical trial networks need to be created to A, more efficiently produce clinical trials, and B, help us use clinical trials to better understand ME/CFS. Dr. Nath talked about this recently. Perturbing a system with a potential treatment and then determining its effects can tell us so much, but is rarely done. The Open Medicine Foundation's LIFT trials is doing this. While some argue that standardized and validated tools to assess treatment outcomes are not present for ME/CFS, Dr. Hansen asserted that we have the tools that can determine if patients are improving or not.